Hey, Rainbow Up Village, Cicely Mahid here, CEO, National Director, Pageant Coach of Rainbow Universe Pageants and Youth Services. I forgot what I was saying. I've been talking a lot. I just got finished doing the video. Anyway, so as I said before, I wanted to do an audio about an addiction story. And I'm doing an audio because this is an addiction story that affects me directly. And that means I might get emotional. So I don't want to cry on the camera. I don't want to look emotional. I have my lips shaking and shivering and stuff. I don't want to do that. So that's just a little too much information for to put out there. So I'm doing an audio. So if you hear me get a little choked up, you know why. This affects me directly. So before I go into this addiction story, let's talk about dopamine again, because this is huge, okay? So as we know, dopamine is a neurotransmitter made in your brain. It plays a role as a reward center and in many body functions, including memory, movement, motivation, mood, attention, and more. High or low dopamine levels are associated with diseases, including Parkinson's disease, restless leg syndrome, and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which is ADHD. Dopamine is known as the feel-good hormone. It gives you a sense of pleasure, and it also gives you the motivation to do something when you're feeling pleasure. And again, it is a part of your reward system. This system is designed from an evolutionary standpoint to reward you when you're doing the things you do to survive, eat, drink, compete to survive, and reproduce. As humans, our brains are hardwired to seek out behaviors that release dopamine in our reward system. When you're doing something pleasurable, your brain releases a large amount of dopamine. You feel good and you seek more of that feeling. This is why junk food and sugar are so addictive. Why I want those gummy bears all the time. They trigger the release of a large amount of dopamine into your brain, which gives you the feeling that you're on top of the world and you want to repeat that experience. Remember that when I tell my addiction story. And the person that became addicted or that is attached in a toxic, dysfunctional way, I believe has disorganized attachment. Now, I did post a video earlier in the week about attachment theory, and people with disorganized attachment have a particularly hard time managing their emotions and relationships. So this person that I'm going to talk about, I'm not going to name him and I'm not going to name her, but they do have this twisted, toxic sexual addiction. And I'm not going to name them, but they do have an issue with managing emotions and relationships. They're unpredictable and frightened and often display a typical behavior for their age. This is disorganized attachment. This might include freezing or self-stimulating responses such as head banging, pacing, or skin picking. Cutters do this. Behavior is attributed to fear of a caregiver and the resulting conflict of instinctively wanting to seek comfort but practically wanting to flee. As an adult, attachment theory posits that individuals with this style crave love and closeness but have strong, deep-rooted fears that people close to them will hurt them. So they might seek out intimate relationships enthusiastically but respond to intimacy with fear or even anger. And many people display generally insecure attachment patterns with a mixture of the different types. So extremely insecure attachment can lead to mental health issues and poor physical health, including substance abuse disorders, depression, anxiety, personality disorders, psychotic disorders or bipolar disorders, and other addictions. So with that, let me tell you the beginning of the story. So what happened is there is a gentleman who saw me online a few years ago. And when he saw me online, he got a little fixated on me because he saw that I was different. He came from a world full of sex, and there was incest involved in this person's life. And again, I'm not going to mention him out of respect for this person, not to, you know, expose him. That's up to him if he wants to tell his story later. I hope that he does. It will help him heal and move forward and take hold of his destiny as well, like I was talking earlier. So he developed a fixation on me and began to watch me and watch me and watch me for you know, long periods of time. And he was addicted to black magic already and mind control. So he, you know, was dabbling in satanic stuff and demonic stuff. And when you do that, you do become possessed. So I'm going to say that again, because people do not want to hear this when I say this. If you use mind control in a way to harm somebody and you try to get in a person's head and you try to tell them what to do, you want to use them, you want to abuse them, you want to sexually offend them, you want to do the dream infiltration thing, you are inviting satanic forces and demonic forces to take you over. They will attack you. Because that's where it's coming from. That is a negative, dark, spiritual atmosphere that you are tapping into. So white magic is different. You can still use mind control with white magic, but you need to do it in a way that is protective and caring and loving. So you can get into a person's head and tell them, you know, you're loved and you have peace. You're going to be okay. God loves you. You're beautiful. You know, stuff like that. That's what we need to use our minds to do if we want to help people. And this can be a form of therapy because sometimes people do not, receive or accept the therapy that they're getting, and it does not affect them. So it's ineffective, and they might just leave the therapist office or leave whatever, you know, therapy that they're going through, and it doesn't affect them. It doesn't help them at all. That happens a lot. And that's because there's something else underlying, something missing there. So when you use white magic and you're able to use that type of therapy and you try to talk to people and get to, you know, into their psyche and their subconscious and remind them of how powerful they are, because that's where it comes from. When you do meditation and you repeat specific words to yourself, especially before you go to bed, you are telling your subconscious, this is who you are. You know, I am powerful. I'm beautiful. There is something that Joel Osteen says every Sunday morning when if you watch him on, when he does his online church, I watch it a lot. He always says, this is my Bible. It has what I say it has. It does what it says it's going to do, or something like that. And today I'll be bold, or whatever. And then he goes through this whole spiel of, I am beautiful. I am powerful. I am wonderful. I am fearfully made. I am happy. I am strong. I am wise. And at the end he says, I am a child of the Most High God. And I love that part, because we are children of the Most High God. And because of that, we have no business dabbling in satanic work and magic and darkness. That's Satan's work. And Satan and God are in cahoots. You know that. Satan, negative, dark, ugly, mentally retarded, disturbed, psychotic, the mentality of a 9-year-old. And God, powerful, major, major power, total love, peace, joy. That's where you want to focus your attention. So if you want the light, you go to the light. You don't mess with black magic, because you're going to go to the darkness. So don't say, I'm going to go to church on Sunday and I'm going to listen to the pastor and do my shouts and praises and worship. And then you go home and you get jealous of somebody and you start using black magic on them and try to get in their head and make them do something, make them leave something around, make them get into trouble so that you can have what they have. That's not of God. So you are conflicted there. You're causing some conflict, but because there are demon spirits, they're watching you, they're listening to you, they know what you're doing, and they say, hey, you've got a problem. I'm going to get in your head and tell you to do this, 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 and that. I was watching this one video on, I think it was on YouTube, and they were talking about people who have committed these horrible crimes and what happens in the courtroom, you know, this craziness is going on in the courtroom. And one of these scenes, you can see a young kid, he looked like he was probably 18, and he was lying on the ground and the cops were talking to him. He was about to get arrested and they're trying to figure out, what the hell did you do this for? I think he had shot up something, a school or a liquor store or something. So what did you do this for? And he said, the demons, I hear them talking, I hear the voices, and they're totally ignoring him. And when I heard that, I was like, whoa, that's real. That is real stuff. Demons will talk to you. They will get in your head. They will tell you what to do. And you will think you're schizophrenic, because demons are telling you all kinds of crazy stuff. So it's not all about some psychological predisposed disorder that, you know, you hear these strange voices. A lot of that is demons talking to you. And if you are messing around with black magic, that's exactly what's going to happen to you. You're going to be pulled into darkness, and then your karma is going to hit you. So you're going to end up getting the same thing you're putting out there. You put out good, you get good. You put out bad, you get bad. That is the law of the universe. No matter what you do, you can go to church and do 60,000 Hail Marys if you're Catholic and pray and worship. But if you go outside your door and you mistreat somebody, if you do somebody wrong, that's going to return to you no matter what you do. No matter what you do. You go out and you do something good and positive, it's going to return to you. You will get something positive back. So if you're dabbling in black magic right now, mind control, like this person that's fixated on me, you're going to get that back. It's going to come back to you. So be careful with that, because you're not getting anything out of it, especially if you're attacking somebody like me, who's strong in the mind. I've studied the brain. I'm close to God. I know how to tap into the psyche, and I know how to block it. I can put a brick wall there. I will share that with everybody later, but I know how to put the brick wall there. And that is not to say that I'm better than everybody. That is to say that I have studied white magic. I have studied the processes and the chemical manner and the processes of the brain and how it works, how it connects to the spirit, how it connects to the body, and how you can connect to other people. When you do that, you're using white magic, and so positive things are going to come your way, and you'll be able to master that and combat that evil, because there is evil. Black magic is evil. Mind control is evil. I don't control people's minds. I know how to tell them good things and positive things, but I don't tell them what to do. I'm not forcing you to do anything. That's all satanic and demonic. So, saying all that, this person was, you know, addicted to mind control and black magic, and I'm pretty sure somebody introduced him to it, and he just took to it quickly. He, like I said before, his trigger, abuse. He came from a life of abuse and used and used and used, forced into something he didn't want to be a part of. And so he has no control. So that is a trigger. If somebody takes control from you, you are very likely to become an addict, because you need to control something. You got to find somebody to fixate on, to be addicted to be obsessed with. And you got to find some type of substance that gives you some kind of pleasure. And it's usually something negative. So that's what this person did. And he got fixated on me. And then he tried mind control, because some of these people were messing around online, and they happened to have come across some people that I know, and they used mind control on them, and it worked. They got to me. It did not work, because I know how to block it. So because I know how to block it, he did not like it, and he did not understand. And he started to have these feelings for me, and he's telling people and spreading stuff that, you know, I'm going to be with this person and this and that. And they would always look at him like, how? You live like this and she lives like that. Doesn't make any sense. And so he got scared. He got nervous, because I'm different. And I'm not like, you know, the women that he's used to, whorish women, you know, slutty women who give it up and, you know, don't care, you know, because they want to be with this person. And, you know, he happens to have some type of power, so they want to be with a guy who's powerful. And then he talks about me and they don't like it. So they did this sick, twisted sexual stuff that they started. And they happen to want to, you know, when they see me do the videos or the audios, they want to get, you know, they get high and they get aroused. And so they start doing these twisted sexual things. I'm not going to tell you how I found this out. Don't need to know that part. But yes, this is what I've been dealing with for about 4 years now. So what happened was, this person got a hold of somebody that I know, and he wanted to come meet me, and he did not get to see me because the person that he talked to, very jealous of me. And that's stupid too. Jealousy is so foolish. It's so ridiculous to just exhibit signs of jealousy. You got to squash the jealousy. We are not here to be jealous of each other. It's not going to work out. You know, it's not going to work out for you. It's not going to work out for anybody else who joins forces. You know, you might be able to attack somebody because you're jealous of them and take something, but you're still going to have this horrible feeling in your conscious, you know, that I just did something horrible. And so that means that jealousy is overtaking you. You have become Lucifer to Satan, because that's what happened in heaven. Lucifer got jealous of God, got kicked out. He became Satan, this dark fallen angel. So this person talked to this other person that I knew, and he said, hey, I'm going to come down there and I want to meet Sicily. And, you know, he was attracted to my business. He wanted to be a part of it. He wanted to take it too. He wanted it to be his, but he also wanted to be a part of it, and he wanted to talk to me. And so I found this out. And what happened was, I was somewhere else and she was supposed to invite me over so that I can meet this person. And instead of doing that, she got in his face and she said, no, you're not going to Sicily. You're not going to talk to her. You're talking to me. You're staying with me. And because this man was coming from a life where he was controlled, he has a lot of insecurities. Know that he has a lot of addictions and a lot of issues with females and a lot of issues with people who are controlling. He's, you know, used to listening to them. So she scared him and he snapped. And so he said, okay, she said something crazy, like, I'm going to, you know, bust my head against the wall or something. And he listened and he was scared. He was nervous. So he said, okay, I have to listen to her. So I'm going to listen to her. And so they started to get involved, and he wanted to, you know, try some stuff out. And so he did. And she gave in to him sexually. And they started the sexual relationship, but he didn't want to do it because he was trying to get close to me. So what happened was, because he knew I'm not, you know, I don't do the sex thing before marriage. I'm a Christian and I believe in waiting, and I have no problem doing that because I know I have a soulmate. So I'm okay with that. But this person was nervous. He said, wait a minute, how the heck do you wait for sex? You know, I can't wait for sex. I just do it, you know, with whomever. And so he became a sex addict, which he is right now. And I'm trying to help him through it. But, you know, got to get to a place where he trusts me. And that's really hard to do when you're an addict. So in the meantime, he continues to dabble into that, his addiction, and deeply involved in it. I should say, and dabbling is just like, you know, here and there and there. That's the wrong word. He has a severe addiction, I'll just put it that way. So severe that he involves other people in that sexual toxic mess that he has. And this person that knows me knows that about him. She knows he has an addiction. She also knows something about his family member that he never got to meet, and who was a mother, and he never got to have his mother around. So he created this twisted thing with her. They became obsessed with each other because he wanted to be demonic and he wanted to do satanic stuff with her because he was already stuck in black magic in the dark world. And that's the only thing he can think of. He didn't love her. He wasn't in love with her. He didn't even like her. She kind of forced him into it, and he didn't know what else to do with her. So he tried something on her. He said, can you do this for me? And she said, yes. And then he said, can you do that for me? And she said, yes. Will you do this for me? Yes. Will you go here for me? Yes. Will you do that person and I watch? Yes. Will you take this for me? Yes. Everything he asked her, she said yes, because she did not want him coming to me. She did not want him to be clean, and she did not want him to get better. She did not want me to befriend him, because she knew I would give him love and, you know, respect him and be a good friend to him. And that's what I was trying to do. But he has an addiction. So his addiction is to her because of all the crazy stuff she said yes to. So just imagine, you know, you have somebody at your disposal and you got all this trauma in your head and your heart. You know, you're spiritually taken over by Satan. You're demonically possessed. And this person gives you everything you think you need so that you can feel better, so that you can have some type of twisted pleasure. And so they turn it into this twisted, toxic involvement. Now, she happens to be in a committed relationship. And so he pulled her out of that so that he can have her and use her. And so she got fixated on it. And she thought, this is it. I'm going to be with this person. Sicily can't have him, you know, and I never really met him. So how would I know if I want him or not? So it was ridiculous. And so, you know, I was hurt, because then I started feeling stuff. And I was like, great. what is happening here, you know? And so I tried to talk to her and she would ignore me and she would call me names and say, you're crazy. You don't know what you're saying. And then, you know, I talked to him and then he got really silent and wouldn't say anything. And then I would talk to other people who were a part of it and they would tell me some stuff. And, you know, I won't go into detail about that. But it was so bad that she plotted to kill me. And she plotted to steal from me. And she wanted my business. Like so many people who look at my website and think that's just the business. They see the social media. That's the business. I want it. Totally ridiculous and ludicrous. And this has been going on for years. And so I have been dodging people all the time, every day, who are trying to hack my website. You can't get into the website. Hack my accounts. You cannot get into my accounts. I know how to protect myself. Doesn't work. This has been going on for years. Didn't happen. Didn't work right. I even got supernaturally protected more than once. People coming after me, couldn't find me, forgot where they were going. I had a guy come to my apartment and try to break in my apartment. And I was standing at the door. I think I was like in Twilight or something. I don't even know what happened to my spirit, but I was at the door and I saw him try to break in the door and the door moved, the lock on the door moved like supernaturally. And he took off at the speed of light. He was gone. I was like, thank you, God, for stepping in for me. And that's been going on every day of my life. I have the protection of Almighty God. So thank you, Jesus. You call on the name of Jesus and you will be delivered immediately. There are tons of stories about that. I can tell people about that. Don't call on Satan. Don't go to black magic. Don't do mind control. That's not going to help you. That's going to send you to hell. You know? So I'm protected. And that doesn't mean that I'm better than everybody. It just means that I've used some smarts. And I said, you know what? I like the light better than the dark. So I chose the light instead of the dark. And because I chose that, I am safer. You choose the light, you choose God, you choose Jesus, you choose church, you choose worship, you choose a clean life, you choose a decent personality, then you're safe. Now, that does not mean bad things are never going to happen to you. I've been through some crazy stuff. But nobody has actually beat me the heck up or tried to kill me or raped me or anything. It won't happen. It doesn't happen. I've been safe and I know to use that name, Jesus, and I will be delivered and taken care of. So if you play with black magic and Satan and demonic possession, you have no safety there. People are going to attack you. You're going to be harmed and you will more likely be addicted to sex. And so this has happened to this person. So he told her, you know, to become his mother because he didn't have a mother. And so he has this severe trauma in his brain and in his heart that he doesn't have a mother. He lost her. And so because of that, he told her to do it. And they turned it into something twisted and psychotic where, you know, she does sex stuff with him and she's supposed to pretend to be his mommy. She feeds him a bottle, you know, he does other twisted stuff, you know, calling her mommy and I'm your son. And so they turned it into something twisted. And she did this to keep him from coming to me, to keep him from getting close to me and befriending me so that I can help him get clean. So he has all these associations with all these dirty people that has kept him dirty because he feels like he needs this addiction. He needs this. He has to have it. His brain is telling him, you know, there's a crash in there with the dopamine. This feels good. I want to keep feeling this. So he has let go of everything that's normal and natural, connecting with a normal person, being, you know, doing the friend thing and not having to drink and not having to smoke weed, not having to do drugs. And, you know, he's let go of the normal stuff in life because he has been so involved in this crazy, psychotic, abnormal behavior that he's so used to. This is his life. And so I've tried to pull him out of it, but this person keeps pulling him back into it. And they develop this bond and this emotional connection where they just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And so he's addicted to the things that she says, and she says it so she can keep him, so he can give her money, so that she can feel like she's important with him. And she's not important except for, you're my pusher. You know, you're feeding me my addiction. And so I need to stay with you. I need to keep talking to you. I cannot talk to Cicely. I cannot go anywhere near Cicely because she's going to pull me out of it into the light and I'm going to feel better. I'm going to do better in the world. I'm going to be happy. And he is afraid of that. And he's afraid of my personality because I'm different from, you know, a whorish person or a slutty person who just gives it up right away. I don't give up anything. I'm like, you're going to earn. You're going to earn the temple. You're going to earn my body. And he knows that about me. And he's confused because the women that he gets involved with, they don't say no to him. And I let him know. I was like, I am a waiter. Okay. If you don't, can't deal with that, sayonara. You know, we can go our separate ways. But because we have feelings, because we are close in a spiritual way, it's hard for him to pull away from me as well. So he's developed a fixation and a obsession there. It's not natural and it's not normal. So I have to keep my distance. And then the person who he got fixated on, who would do everything that he told her to do and listen to everything he says, he is fixated on her. So he's got a conflict here. There's a triangle here. And so his addiction is severe and it has caused him to attack me, and it has caused him to do crazy things that, you know, a normal person would never do, and to try to get to me in the way that he gets to her. And I keep telling him, you're not going to get to me that way. I don't want any parts of the darkness. I don't want any parts of satanic worship. I don't want any parts of black magic or mind control, dream infiltration. I don't want any parts of that. And so he, you know, okay, forget it then. I'm just going to keep going to this person because this person, you know, they're giving me my feed. They're making me feel better about what I need. And I feel like I need this. And so that's why I'm telling this story, because his addiction is really huge. And it has, you know, gone on the side of madness because of the things that he does and says. And he's conflicted in his heart. And so I hope if he hears this story, he probably knows I'm talking about him. My intention is not to harm. It is not to embarrass you. Like I said, I'm not going to call you out your name. And even if I've, you know, posted something about you before, you might be somebody, it could be somebody else. So don't make assumptions as to who this person is, because you really don't know. It could be anybody. But I want him to know, and I'm pretty sure he knows that I'm talking about him, that I have love for him and that I care for him and that he can beat this addiction. He can walk away from it. He can, you know, fulfill his destiny on the planet. There are a group of people for him that that need what he has. And when you go through stuff in life, and this is the biggest part of all that people need to listen to when it comes to negative things happen to you. When you go through something in your life, that is, you have to use that as a test and as a challenge to get you to a place where you can get to people who have gone through the same thing you have. And I've told this to people before, told this to my youth clients before. You've been through something crazy. I've talked to kids who have come from incestuous families, and they don't understand. Like, how can a God love me, Miss Cece, if my dad is having sex with me every day and night? If my mom, you know, sells me to the guys downstairs so she can get money and go buy some hats and purses? You know, how is there a God out there that loves me? And that's a valid question. And then I say, first of all, you have to develop a relationship with God, with, you know, yourself. You have to experience it for yourself. And then second of all, when you read the Bible, when you understand who God is and who Jesus was on the planet, you will know that he came to love unconditionally. You will know that the cross is about unconditional love. It's not about you look good, you're this race, you have this much money, you're poor, so I'm just going to love you. Everybody is loved by God, no matter who you are, no matter what you look like, Mexican, black, Asian, white, Middle Eastern, Pacific Islander, tall, short, fat, skinny, dark skin, light skin, female, male, child, teenager. God loves everybody, all of us, no matter what we do. If you go out and shoot somebody and kill 20 people, shoot them up, God's still gonna love you. If you go out there and rape 50 people, God is still going to love you. If you go out and mutilate some child in the park, God is still going to love you, no matter what you do. So it is unconditional love. It is not based on what you do and who you are, what you have, and what you look like. He's just loved. It's just love, period. That's why when people go to prison, they run to the Bible right away. And I've talked to people who have been in prison. I've talked to people who have been in jail. And they run to the Bible because they know that solace is going to get them through that lockup. You know, they know that they've got some type of, some God out there loves them no matter what they did. This deputy is, you know, in my face and judging me. That judge hates my guts. My lawyer does not want to keep my case. My mom has turned on me. My sister hates my guts because I was raping her too. You know, I don't have a dog anymore because I gave up the dog so that I can get those drugs. And now they're, you know, using the dog for this and that. And, you know, you think about these people and they just left you. They just walked away from you and said, I don't want nothing to do with you. You're crazy. But your God will never, ever do that. Never will he walk away from you. You have to make sure that you go to God because God is waiting for you. The Bible says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. That's how it works. Don't sit on your couch and wait for God to knock on your door. Now, he might get in your head and tell you some stuff. Hey, this is your destiny, like he did Lauren Daigle. This is your calling. Let me see what you're going to do with that information. And then he backs off. He's not going to sit down on the couch and wait for you to finish your addiction. You know, he might say, when you're ready to put that weed down, you know, let's talk. I'm just going to hang out here and watch some TV. God's not going to do that. He's probably going to get silent for a while. So you might not really have a relationship with God at all, but you can go to him at any time, and his arms will be open, like the prodigal son in the Bible. That story is powerful because that prodigal son was like, I got to have the riches. I got to have this. I got to go here. Forget you, Dad. And he just kicked him to the curb, did his thing. And then he came back and his dad opened his arms wide. I love you, son. I don't care what you did. I don't care how long you were gone. I still love you. And that's what you have to remember when you have a horrible addiction, when you have a horrible bad habit, or you've done something really, really bad, that you can go to your source and you can feel better about yourself. You don't need the cigarettes. You don't need the alcohol. You don't need the drugs. You don't need the sex. You don't need the satanic worship or the demonic stuff, you know, black magic. Go to your source. And if you do not get the thing that you see that you want and you get jealous of it, that probably means that it's not yours and it's not meant to be yours. Ask God what is meant to be yours and let go of this hold of greed that people have on stuff. Gotta have this cell phone and that tablet, and I gotta have this laptop, and that's pretty. I want that. I'm gonna steal that from her, and I gotta take her clothes, and I gotta go over here, and I'm gonna follow her here, and I'm gonna take this from her, and I'm gonna make sure she doesn't get this, and you know, he's gonna be pissed off because I'm gonna kill his dad, and I'm gonna take his son. You know, that's stupid satanic stuff, and that Satan is laughing at you if you live like that. He's laughing at you because he's saying, you know what, I got you, fool. I got you because you don't care about God. You don't care about being good. I can tell you whatever I want and you're gonna do it. And they listen. So you have to be careful with that. And I just want to encourage the person, the two people that I'm talking to, turn away from your foolish addictions, because that's all it's about. What you're doing is an addiction. If you say no to this person, if the other person says no to you, you have nothing. There's no substance. You might be able to talk to each other about stuff, but while you're talking, you're going to be thinking about what you've, you know, got into with each other, and that's going to be at the forefront of your mind, you know, like, well, we're not talking right now, so let's go do some crazy stuff with our bodies. And then you end up doing it, and so the addiction continues, and it continues, and it goes on and on and on. And sometimes people die. They end up, you know, in a mental hospital or a hospital from, you know, physical abuse, and then they hate themselves. And I don't want him to stay there. I don't want her to stay there, because self-hatred is powerful. That takes you over and demons attack you then, because they say, hey, you don't like yourself. Well, I'm going to make you do some crazy, stupid stuff. And they will. And that's not the place you want to be in. You want to have a happy life. You want to have joy. You want to have peace. You want light. You want to feel happy. I'm going to tell you that I am a happy person. And I have challenges in my life. I have setbacks in my life. I have failures. I have, you know, adversity. I have gone through this and that. I've had illnesses and sicknesses. I've had people coming up against me, people turning on me because of my business and because of, you know, my lifestyle and because of, you know, some guy that I'm involved with. And, you know, so I don't have a perfect life. I have issues too. But because, like I said before, I have God as my anchor, I can feel joy. I don't need to turn to a drug. I don't need to smoke weed and be like, oh, I feel better. You know, I don't need to be with the crowd and do what everybody else is doing and get crazy and lose my mind and, you know, end up in a mental hospital and not be able to think clearly. If you get to that point, your life is might as well be over because you are being controlled. You have no mindset to do what you need to do to feel good about yourself, to feel good about life, and to have some peace so that you can get rid of the madness. And there is a lot of madness around us. Madness everywhere I see. People repeating the same crazy stuff over and over and over again, waiting for something good to happen to them, and they won't change it. And that is the definition of insanity. If you do not change your madness, you're going to stay mad. Period. So take notes from me. I have a joyful life not having sex with every guy that I see. I have a joyful life talking to God and spending time with God, meditating, praying. I have a joyful life not drinking, you know, beer or alcohol. I have a joyful life not hooking up or, you know, doing some cocaine. I have a joyful life not messing with black magic and crazy mind control and demonic possession stuff and, you know, dream infiltration. I have a joyful life not hurting others and not dwelling on jealousy and activating jealousy so much so that I hurt somebody. So I have a joyful life and I am absent of all of that stuff. I don't need it. I don't want to be jealous of people. I don't want to exhibit signs of jealousy. I don't want to steal from people. I don't want to hurt from people. So my encouragement to you, my friend, or friends out there who are listening to this audio, are the two people that have tried to harm me so bad because of your jealousy, because of your fears, and because of your addictions, please let it go so that you can be better, so you can feel better, so that you can love better and you can be loved. If you are looking for love, you have to give love. And also this person that I don't want to mention his name, he has an air of arrogance as well. I noticed that from him. And because of his air of arrogance, he feels like he can do whatever he wants and get away with it. And it's no big deal. And it is a big deal. When you hurt somebody, when you mess with somebody's life, when you do something evil, it is a big deal. And it's going to follow you. And you can get yourself in a whole heck of a lot of trouble. So you have to be careful with what you put out there in the world, what you do to other people, how you affect them, and what your mindset is about certain people, your preconceived notions, your discriminations, your prejudices, and what you fixate on. We have to let people go. We have to let go of fixating on others because we see them online or they're talking about this and that. And, you know, you're amazing and you did this and I want to pretend to be you or I want what you have. Be yourself. Take what you have. Use your brain. Use your heart and your spirit to get what you want in life that's yours in your corner, in your closet, so that if a cop walks through your door and he goes through your stuff, he can say, this is all yours. I'm leaving. You don't want the cop to come in and say, that's somebody else's. That doesn't belong to you. You stole that and we're confiscating this. That's not what you want to hear. You don't want to get involved with cops. You don't want to be involved with the FBI. You don't want to be messed with by, you know, law enforcement or government officials or anybody in power who has the power to make decisions about your life. So do the right thing, peeps, please, in your life and with other people and towards other people. Please listen to my voice. Life is not as bad as we think it is, and it's not doesn't have to be as serious as we make it. You can have a good time. Learn to play. Learn to be at peace. Learn to have joy. Learn to accept yourself and to give yourself self-love and self-care and to respect other people's decisions and their choices in life. Let go of the greed mentality, trying to get things and get. I gotta have all kinds of money. And get to a place where you are in the light, where you are a meditative person, where you are calm and balanced and at peace. And you have joy, whether you have money or not. You have joy, whether you're in a relationship or not. You have joy, whether you're having sex or not. You have joy, whether you can drink or buy some cigarettes or get a drug. You have joy, whether nobody talks to you at all, because you are important. You matter. You have a purpose on this planet. And God is always there. God is your anchor. Let God be your anchor. Learn about your God. Read your Bible. Get a Bible app. Get the fabulous app and change your habits, honey. You can do it. I am working with you. I encourage you to keep listening to me. I have so much more to give you throughout this 21-day challenge. And so that's the story that I wanted to tell you guys about so that you understand kind of where I'm at in my life and why I actually chose it at this time. I think it's a perfect time so that this person can come to me and he can forgive himself. We're talking about understanding and compassion. So my friend, I want you to put your right hand over your heart on the left side. And you walk to your mirror, if you have a mirror and you're in a place where a mirror is, and you look yourself in the eye and you tell yourself, I forgive you. I love you, self. I need you. You are important. I am important. I want you. I want to keep you. I have a lot to give to the world. I am loved. I love others. I am okay with giving and I am okay with receiving. I don't need anything negative. I don't need anything dark because it breaks my heart when I go there. It breaks my heart to use people. It breaks my heart to take drugs. It breaks my heart to continue to be fixated and addicted to bodies and to some twisted sexual thing that may not even be sexual. It breaks my heart to hurt the ones that I love. It breaks my heart to try to take. It breaks my heart to be silent. It breaks my heart to not speak truth. And you forgive yourself. You let go of what the world tells you you have to have and who you have to be. You let go of any attention-seeking desperation that you have because God will give you all the attention that you need. People that love you will give you all the attention that you need. We don't need attention 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from anybody. Give yourself attention. Take time to spend with you. You don't need anybody to validate you but you. Be with you. Enjoy time with yourself. Love you so that you can love somebody else. Take that to heart, my friend. And don't forget it. If you have to listen to this audio over and over and over again, I encourage you to do so. I will post the I Am meditation. I will get to it, I promise. It's very powerful. So that's all I wanted to say, and I hope you guys took something from that addiction story. I love you, my friend, who you are, and I love the other person that has come against me and tried to keep you from getting close to me and getting to the place where you really want to be and need to be and are supposed to be. Which is a beautiful, powerful, wonderful place. That is your story. That is your future, your life, your destiny, your path. And you are right there at the door. And I encourage you, I challenge you to open that door and walk through it and keep on moving forward. Don't look back. Don't try to grab a hold to somebody who makes you feel like you're important and, you know, you already know deep down inside they don't see that. They just want to use you. So hold on to what's real and hold on to what's true and hold on to the gifts that you were given because you have power, you have gifts, and you can do better than what you're doing. I encourage you. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you all so much for listening and toodles.